As a longtime educator, wellness instructor, and coach for women rebuilding after major life shifts, I deeply understand the challenges of reconnecting with your mind, body, and purpose so you can live grounded, confident, and whole. I'm Dr. Molly Kirby, your host, and welcome to Rooted Conversations by Reinnovate You Coaching, where your healing becomes your roots and your growth becomes your new way of being. Through grounding conversations, practical tools, and valuable insights, Rooted Conversations empowers you to reconnect with yourself, to release what no longer serves you, and to reinnovate the person you're becoming. If this sounds just like the thing you've been looking for, subscribe to the podcast and join me on this journey to reset, renew, and reinnovate you. Welcome back to Rooted Conversations. In my last episode, I talked to two excellent guests about GLP-1s and the very real conversations happening around weight, health, and identity. But today I want to go a little deeper because even if our bodies change for whatever reason, the question remains, how do we see ourselves? And how can we find beauty in who we are becoming, not just who we used to be? This episode gently shifts the conversation from fixing the body to befriending it, especially in seasons of aging, weight change, and identity evolution. This episode isn't anti-GLP-1 because, as we discussed the last time, these drugs are invaluable to many women and their journeys to health and wellness. It's about meaning, being gentle with our bodies as they change, and self-respect. In my first episode this season, I mentioned my fascination with Japanese philosophies, and I think this is a perfect time to begin that exploration. I thought a lot about our GLP-1 discussion, and the first concept that I'd like to discuss is wabi-sabi. Wabi-sabi is a Japanese philosophy that finds beauty in imperfection, impermanence, and incompleteness. I am sure many of you listening have heard this term, but I wanted to couch it in real talk. Everything I have read or studied, I've noticed that wabi-sabi rarely shows up as a formal topic of conversation, and it's not typically taught through lectures or doctrines. Instead, it's something people sense rather than articulate. It's a quiet, almost universal understanding of beauty found in imperfection and change. A gentle appreciation for the imperfect, like weathered driftwood, uneven or unmatched bowls, brown leaves in the fall, and the fleeting moments that make life real. And if that doesn't describe aging, especially for women, I don't know what does. Wabi-sabi and the golden repair tradition known as kintsugi are often deeply connected, but they're not the same thing. Kintsugi often uses the tangible expression of wabi-sabi's philosophy. So kintsugi is something we will cover a lot later down the road, but it's hard to separate it right now from wabi-sabi and discussions of notions of beauty and imperfection. In general, wabi-sabi is an ancient Japanese worldview rooted in simplicity, transience, imperfection, and the quiet beauty of the natural world. It teaches that nothing is permanent, nothing is finished, and nothing is perfect. And that is where the beauty really lies. So here's how the story goes. It's the legend of the shogun's broken tea bowl. In the 15th century, a Japanese shogun broke his favorite Chinese tea bowl. He sent it back to China to be repaired, but it returned with unsightly metal staples holding it together. It was still a beautiful bowl, but with an ugly fix. Disappointed, he asked Japanese artisans if they could manage to find a more aesthetically pleasing way to repair the crack in the bowl. The Japanese craftsmen responded by filling the cracks with lacquer mixed with powdered gold, not hiding the cracks, but highlighting them. The result? The repaired bowl wasn't just fixed, it was more beautiful than it was before it was broken. And so the technique became known as kintsugi, golden joinery. The art of repairing broken pottery with gold, silver, or platinum. Why does this story matter? It's because kintsugi isn't just a craft, it's a philosophy. Breakage is not the end. Damage is not something to hide. And healing can create something even more beautiful. This is where wabi-sabi comes in. Kintsugi is the physical embodiment of wabi-sabi, the idea that beauty lives within the imperfect, the humble, the weathered, and the repaired. And most importantly, the bowl doesn't try to return to what or who it was before. Its history now is what makes it valuable. Wabi-sabi is rooted in Zen Buddhism, particularly the idea that nothing lasts, nothing is finished, and nothing is ever perfect. Originally, wabi-sabi referred to simplicity, humility, and a quiet, pared-down life. Sabi referred to the beauty that comes with age, wear, and time. So over the years, they merged into a shared philosophy that honors aging, change, and the marks left behind by life. So how do these concepts connect to real life? Well, people love legends and parables because they parallel the human experience. In this case, we break, we heal, we carry scars, and we become something new. And if we embrace those cracks with honesty, compassion, and courage, we often find a deeper kind of beauty on the other side. We live in a culture that celebrates the before and chases the after, but it rarely teaches us how to be with the during. But the future you begins with living in the present. If we are constantly romanticizing our youth and the person we were in the past, or if we imagine who we could be in the future if we could just change a few things without creating present paths, new journeys, the ones in the present, we will never be self-actualized. So it's not about the who we were or the who we will be, but the becoming. Those in-between seasons where our bodies, identities, and priorities are shifting, sometimes faster than our self-image can keep up with. But the body is changing, whether it's because of medication, menopause, grief, stress, healing, or simply the passage of years and time. It's imperative we befriend ourselves rather than alienate who we are right now. It's about learning how to look at ourselves with softer eyes. So what if aging isn't a failure of youth, but an initiation into real depth? What if beauty doesn't fade, but deepens? So what might it be like to live in a wabi-sabi body, to honor what has shaped, scarred, softened, and strengthened by life, and to find beauty not in perfection, but in presence? So I'd like to share a story a little bit about my growing up in my body image. I grew up with a mom who was always on a diet, and it got worse as she aged. So as she got older, menopause, the scars of life, the wrinkles, really became an issue for her. A lot of people talk about this in the terms of an almond mom, which is a term used to describe a parent, most always a mother, who promotes restrictive eating habits and places a heavy emphasis on thinness, diet, and body size, often passing it on to their children, especially their female children. It started back with the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills when Yolanda Hadid told her teenage daughter, Gigi, to eat a few almonds to cope with hunger. It surfaced on TikTok and Instagram, and people began using the term almond mom to describe similar parenting patterns they had experienced. So the almond mom traits include encouraging extremely low-calorie or restrictive eating, talking frequently about weight, calories, or being skinny, limiting children's food with a focus on clean or good foods, using diet culture language, whether it's subtle or direct, and always prioritizing appearance over balanced nutrition or well-being. These behaviors are often rooted in our parents' own internalized diet culture, which is where my mother was. But research shows that children tend to internalize their parents' body dissatisfaction and food anxieties. So kids whose moms express dissatisfaction with their bodies are more likely to develop poor body images themselves. This makes almond mom behavior potentially harmful because disordered eating patterns can occur, shame around hunger, anxiety about food, difficulty in trusting your own body cues. So the big picture, at its core, the almond mom is less about the few almonds and hunger. It's more about diet culture passed down through generations. It's become a way for people, especially women, to name and validate experiences that shape their early relationship with food. Now, I don't bring this up to criticize anyone. We've all absorbed messages about perfection, discipline, and control, especially around our bodies. Many of us grew up in homes where thinness was praised, where hunger was ignored, and where food was moralized. But here's where wabi-sabi offers us a gentler path. Wabi-sabi reminds us that perfection was never the goal. Our bodies were always meant to change. Our lives are meant to shift. And instead of squeezing ourselves into the smallest version of who we can be, we can expand into the truest version of ourselves. So whether you grew up with an almond mom like I did, or you found pieces of that mindset in yourself, this is your invitation to soften, to feed yourself, to listen to your body, to honor the life you're living today, not the body you were praised for at 16 or 18 or 20 or even 30. Because aging isn't a failure of discipline. It's a testament to being alive. So remember this. If you have a mug with a chip, that chip is there because it's been used and loved. Just as a face has lines because it has expressed real emotion. A life might look unfinished, but it's because it's still unfolding. Modern Western culture tends to teach us to fight aging, hide wear and tear, treat change as a problem to solve, and reward the before and after thinking. Not that all these things are inherently bad, but what if we looked at wabi-sabi? Because wabi-sabi says aging is not failure. Change is not a flaw. The middle is not a mistake. There is no after that erases the value of the journey. As we get older, our bodies change, our energies shift, priorities clarify, certainty fades, but wisdom grows. So what if we did some wabi-sabi and gave ourselves permission to stop striving for who we used to be, stop apologizing for who we are now, and stop rushing to become someone better? So a wabi-sabi reframe would be, youth is about becoming. Wabi-sabi is about belonging to yourself, to time, to reality. As it whispers, you don't need to be smoother, tighter, faster, or newer to be worthy. You just need to be present. I'd like to end this with a reflection. You can come back to this later on, however you want to do it. But I would like for you to know that youth is loud. Aging is nuance. One grabs our attention, the other holds depth. So here's some things to consider. What do you care less about now than you did in the past? What do you value more than you did in the past? What do you no longer apologize for? So sometime when you're sitting down, maybe to have a cup of coffee or think by yourself, take a pause, take a breath, maybe get out a journal and think about these prompts that you could write down. Think about, where am I still trying to look like my past instead of honoring my present? Number two, what part of my body or life am I ready to stop correcting and start appreciating? And number three, am I alive? If I were a piece of wabi-sabi pottery, where are the cracks that hold the most meaning for me? Just think about these things. So as we close today, I'd love for you to take time to practice some wabi-sabi. What has aging taught you? What wisdom has quietly made its way into your life, maybe through a cracked moment, a season of change, or one of those beautifully imperfect lessons we only learn by living? This week, I invite you to practice a little extra self-compassion. Let yourself soften and let yourself be human. And maybe even let yourself be a little wabi-sabi. Perfectly imperfect, right on time, and worthy just as you are. I hope you join me next time as we dive into skincare and aging with two experts who truly understand the seasons of life. Think of it as tending to ourselves with a little gentleness, a little wabi-sabi, small, intentional repairs along the path of becoming. It's a conversation you don't want to miss. Until then, take good care and stay rooted. Thank you for joining Rooted Conversations by Reinnovate You Coaching and for seeking clarity and truth in your health and wellness journey. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review. It helps us grow and reach more listeners like you. For resources and updates, follow us on social media or visit riucoaching.com. Until next time, stay grounded, stay curious, and keep growing. As a reminder, this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and is not intended to be medical advice. I am not a medical provider. I am a PhD, not an MD. And nothing in these conversations should be used to diagnose, treat, or replace care from a qualified healthcare professional. Always consult your doctor or trusted healthcare provider regarding any questions or concerns about your health.